She doesn't even go here.
Yesterday I did Gucci, so and today Fendi, so
it's hot.
Hey, it's Nikki Jensen
and Brie Piccone,
and we're
late to the party,
a weekly podcast about film, fashion, and pop culture from two best friends, Wagon Wheel Watusi-ing in 2010.
Wagon Wheel Watusi.
Yep.
Hey.
Which one is the Wagon Wheel Watusi? Like, what were those moves? They're so wild. Like,
it definitely has like the like hands in front, like you're like a cat.
Yeah.
In a little.
And then it's like you do the it's not crazy legs, but it's like, what is it called? What is that move? Not the mashed potato. Is it the mashed potato?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about the dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Cher and Christina Aguilera do. And Stanley Tucci.
Yes.
Yeah. Because today we are talking about the 2010 musical drama Burlesque.
Yep. My pick.
Burlesque.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a stan. I don't know what came over me. I loved watching Burlesque in 2010.
Same.
It's one of those like last albums I properly bought.
Mm.
So
I was just about to ask if you had the album, because I thought I did too, but I had the CD.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Do you still have the CD?
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's the one I would not give away. It's too iconic.
These songs are so good.
Yeah. Well, Christina Aguilera apparently wrote a good chunk of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I do know Diane Warren.
She, yeah.
Has her hand in the pot too. Sia.
There's a whole team of people. But I know that she like contributed. I don't know.
It does add a good touch. It's one of those films where it's like, I never think about Burlesque.
I was going to say, I always, I don't know why.
Well, okay, let's unpack that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never think about Burlesque because to me, it's one of those films at the time where I was really hyped for it, because mm-hmm. this came out, we were like in high school.
Yeah.
I was a theater kid. I'm also like, came out of the womb a Cher fan. Like, my mom loved Cher, so I got indoctrinated into loving Cher.
Yeah.
And I remember as the clock, this is so sad. I'm sure this is like, I don't know. Can any gays relate? When the clock struck 12, 2009 going into 2010, I got properly upset.
Why?
Like crestfallen, because Cher hadn't really done anything
This
decade. And I remember being like a really little kid and Believe came out.
Yes.
And like, you know, that was at the end of the 90s and it was like such a big deal. And
I've all been waiting for Cher to do something.
Oh, and I just assumed that Cher, once every decade, Cher comes out of her like fabulous like egg or cocoon or whatever and just gives us a banger.
She does.
And but yeah, we had to wait almost till 2011. This was like November 2010. And I was like, yes, we get a Cher. Like, there's hope for the world.
There's hope. Yeah. I know what you mean. She always does something every decade. Has she done anything recently, though?
2018, Mamma Mia.
Right, Mamma Mia.
Here we go again.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'm like a middle-aged gay man or like a 60-year-old woman, but something about Cher, especially like, as I've gotten older, if I see her, just fangirl.
I love her in a movie, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she's a great actor. Also, I tried putting my cough drop under my tongue, and I thought it would be helpful, but it actually made it worse.
This is, like, very ASMR.
I'm sorry. Is it too much?
No, I don't think so. You're going to be the one editing this.
I'm trying to just let it melt in the back of my mouth.
I like it. It's like, speaking of icons, Fran Drescher, you know when she does that interview where uh-huh. she's doing ASMR?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You just need a whisper. You just need a whisper. Like, crackle it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But I love, like, seeing Cher in a movie. And it's crazy that this movie is her debut, like, singing in a movie. But she's Cher, you know? And this is the first time she's sung in a movie is Burlesque. What?
It's crazy.
It is, yeah.
But I'm glad it happened. It seems like a fever dream of a movie, but it happened and I'm very thankful for it.
Same.
So wait, was the second time that she sang Fernando?
It had to be Mamma Mia, yeah.
Wow, here we go again. That's amazing.
Yeah. I feel like that's her niche. Like, I feel like her I mean, obviously she has many talents, but I feel like singing and acting at the same time is just like on another level.
There is something, and I'm sure we're going to talk more about it, but Cher singing You Haven't Seen the Last of Me, it transcends. I don't know. This movie obviously had Oscar buzz, but obviously did not get nominated for anything. Mm-hmm. But I am still 10 years plus later very upset that Diane Warren didn't get a Best Original Song for You Haven't Seen the Last of Me.
No, it's a great song. It gets me almost every time. And yeah. I still think about this song. I feel like that song has got me through a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, embarrassingly. Yeah.
No, I love it. I mean, that's what a Diane Warren song does. That's what she's like known for. And yeah, I don't know. To see like Cher in 2011 performing, like the Academy did not give us Cher performing. I don't know. It's a mess.
Yeah. Isn't there something about like there's some Oscar rule about, I don't know, original songs or original musicals, like mm-hmm. that's why it didn't get nominated or something. It's like because a lot of people contributed or something. Like there's
yeah, but this is confusing because the song was written for this film.
Yeah.
So
they could have at least given us that. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like also Oscars, especially because we've talked about this enough on this podcast about Oscar songs as like Best Original Song.
Yeah.
They make up their rules. Like every 5 years, the Oscars switched it up. Like in the 90s, how they had like two separate categories for song. I don't know. They just make up their own rules.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up with, honestly. Yeah,
for sure. But they robbed us of that.
They did.
So shame on you, Oscars.
Justice for Billis. Justice for Diane Warren.
It's not for, you know, not really nominating women except for the last 10 years or, you know, Oscar so white. It's because we didn't get Cher.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Let that be on their conscience.
I know.
I know this fly is like harassing me.
I'm like, no, I was going to ask you a question, but I didn't want like you to start answering and the fly like literally be on your forehead.
Oh my God. Like Mike Pence.
Yes. I felt like that was the moment. And of course, Grace would clip it out. I love you, Grace, but she'd clip it out and be like, buzz.
It'd be my, oh no.
Your relationship with burlesque. Just a fly on your forehead.
That'd be embarrassing. All right.
Anyways. So. Burlesque.
Yeah.
I mean, burlesque.
Burlesque.
So what's your relationship with burlesque? Did you see this movie when it came out in 2010?
Yes. I remember being so excited for it. And I got the CD. I just remember really loving this movie and kind of relating to Allie in a way and being like, you know, a girl with big dreams and just being intrigued by the idea of burlesque. Like they make it seem sexy, but it's not too over the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it just seems like a fun time. And like, I don't know. I love the story. And I think if Cher and Christina Aguilera though weren't in this movie, I probably wouldn't care, but it's Cher, which was like the big factor for me. Cause like you, I grew up loving Cher, knowing all her music, just waiting for something new to happen with Cher.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was just like, I feel like it was exciting and it was a moment. And I loved like the marketing, like the posters and stuff, like the black and white, like the stark contrast and like the touches of pink.
Yes.
I don't know. It just spoke to me.
I agree.
And all those movies speak to me, like the burlesque kind of like Chicago. I think about Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge is great.
Yeah.
This movie... talking about it is, it's a lot like Cabaret or Chicago or Moulin Rouge. It's in that vein.
Yeah.
But also it does, it's like the tale as old as time. It's like the Flashdance
mm-hmm.
storyline or Coyote Ugly.
Yes.
Where it's, you know, the small town girl with big dreams. A Star is Born.
Star is
also
born.
Comes to mind. Which, funny enough,
Allie. Yeah.
Which, that's the only thing. Like, what are your thoughts on Christina Aguilera being cast? Because if it was a couple years later, Sharon Gaga.
Oh my God.
That would,
oh my God.
I would be dying, you know,
I
on
don't
the floor.
Know. Oh my God. I don't know if I could handle that. Like Sharon Gaga in the same movie. I mean, it was like Christina Aguilera and Sharon. I thought I thought it was a good choice having Christina because she has that powerful voice. And yeah. You don't expect it. Well, you do expect it because it's, you know, you have to really suspend the disbelief with this movie because there are two great singers up there, mm-hmm. which I kind of wish we saw more Cher just saying, or like maybe them both singing at some point, mm-hmm. which I thought they did, but I watching it again, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, they don't.
Why didn't we get a number, like the final number? Oh, such a missed opportunity. Yes. A Cher and Christina duet.
I wanted to see Cher get crunk up there and
yes,
I don't know,
like do a whole proper number. I mean, you haven't seen The Last of Me is iconic.
Yes,
but yeah, that's a slower tempo. She only does it for the lighting guy.
Exactly. It's not as like juicy.
Yeah, the promo would have you believe that Cher is like up believe with like a sailor hat and, you know, her burlesque like Pussycat Dolls get up,
yeah,
with Christina. But no, we don't get that
moment.
But yeah. I mean, I still live for this movie, to be honest. I really went in Brie.
Tell me about your experience with this movie.
I mean, I was into it at the time, obviously, but going into it now, I haven't seen this movie for 10 years. I haven't seen it since like what, Thanksgiving 2010?
Oh, it was Thanksgiving.
So like 13 years.
Is this a Thanksgiving movie now? Just for us?
For us it is. But you know, like growing up, I'd always see with my fam like a movie Christmas night and Thanksgiving night after, you know, everyone had left and we'd go to the movies. This 2010 Thanksgiving was burlesque.
Oh.
So
it was memorable then.
For me, yeah. I was into it at the time, forgot about it. Was like, oh, Brie wants to do burlesque. Oh, fine.
And then I did have to pull, like, not pull your leg. What's the word?
Pulling teeth?
I had to pull, yeah. I was like pulling teeth.
But no, I was so into it from Jump Street. Like, I love the idea that when the movie starts, you know, it's very cliche. We don't know anything about Allie. And I love that it just gets into it.
It does. This movie wastes no time. It's very direct. There's no, I mean, yeah, we don't really know much about the characters, but you don't really need to. It's not about that. It's about the burlesque.
For sure. Well, and it's not even burlesque. They don't really,
it's not
burlesque.
It's not proper burlesque, yeah.
But no, but I also, like I said, theater kid, I have also an obsession with like the Pussycat Dolls. Mm. Like low key. I am fascinated by their Inception. Mm-hmm. Like I think Robin Anton is a very fascinating person. I love the idea that in the 90s Johnny Depp bought the Viper Room on the Sunset Strip.
Oh, he bought the Viper Room.
Yeah, and it was just like a safe haven for, you know, everyone from Kate Moss to, you know, River Phoenix. Mm. Which I found out, Brie.
Yeah.
Okay, River Phoenix and I both were born on August 23rd. River Phoenix and I both have the same middle name.
Wait, really?
Yep. His middle name is Jude.
That's weird.
Which is okay. Random.
Yeah.
And he died the year I was born.
So do you think you're him reincarnated?
Don't know. But, yeah, that's wild.
Possibly.
Possibly. I don't know. River Phoenix is always a person that I've felt a
connection to?
Connection to, yeah. And now there's all these, like, little parallels.
Wow. But it's really weird, but cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, his last name, Ann Joaquin's, is Bottom. It's not Phoenix. It's Bottom. They just changed it to Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix sounds way cooler. Yeah. River Bottom?
Joaquin Bottom. Imagine that's, like, Star of the Joker is Joaquin Bottom.
Yeah. I get it.
But nonetheless, back to the Viper Room. So the Pussycat Dolls, yes, before they were like Don'tcha,
okay,
and all the bangers, they were a show like started by Robin Anton at the Viper Room.
Oh.
And originally Christina Applegate from like Married with Children, etc. She was there a lot and she was a dancer. So she performed the show a lot and they do like a performance where it was burlesque-esque. Ooh. Where they would like take off a corset and reveal another corset and take off another corset and, you know, like Russian nesting doll style, you know, very actually burlesque.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I love Pussycat Dolls choreography.
Same.
Even when it was like the girl group. I don't know. I just like, I also like burlesques too. Like Dita Von Teese is always someone that comes to mind that's iconic. And yeah.
Definitely. So. Yeah. Dita Von Teese definitely comes to mind. Mm. Like she's like the queen of burlesque.
Yeah.
I feel like I always just picture her just up in that martini glass.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. My relationship is this movie slaps. Mm-hmm. It slapped then. It slaps now. I just haven't thought about it in 13 years.
Gotcha.
But now that it's in me.
Yeah.
You can't get it. I can't get it out. Like today, I really just did listen to the soundtrack over and over again.
Yeah. And you said at work, you were just.
I was vibing this movie when we popped it on and I started popping ass. Like just, it's so good.
Nice. I mean, it's hard to not want to dance to some of these songs in the movie.
What are your favorites?
Probably the last song that's like, show me how you burlesque. Because it's so up tempo. It's so like, I don't know, upbeat. And then definitely You Haven't Seen the Last of Me. Like that one just has stuck with me through the years. Mm-hmm. And it's always in the back of my mind.
I always forget it's from Burlesque.
I have cried to that song many times.
Yeah. What is your relationship to You Haven't Seen the Last of Me?
I don't know. I think about Cher and I think about how she's a strong woman. We haven't seen the last of her. Mm-hmm. And then I think about my life and I don't know what it is, but it gets me.
I totally get it.
It's just the way she sings it. I think it's, she really gives it her all, but it's crazy because in my mind, the choreography, like in the movie, I thought she would like actually fall to her knees, but she doesn't.
No. We forget Cher is an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Like Silkwood on, Cher is actually like an Oscar winning actress for Moonstruck and, you know, besties with Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Cher's actually a very talented actress. And I feel like, I don't know if like history has forgotten that, but maybe a little bit.
You know, can we talk about Cher's chemistry with Stanley Tucci?
Oh my God. They had the Devil Wears Prada shaking in their boots.
Right?
Quaking. Yes. They're perfect.
I love it. I love their energy. Like they really play off each other well. And I don't know. I'm like, I'm low-key shipping them. I'm very confused, though. Stanley Tucci confuses me. Because I'm like, is he a gay man? And
just in real life or in this movie?
No, both, I guess. But I don't know.
Stanley Tucci's my favorite.
Yeah.
Cher's my favorite.
They're both my favorite.
Combine those two. It's great. I also think, you know, I'm such a hater typically. I feel like we spend a lot of time on this podcast hating certain elements of movies that are like, you know, that we've seen before.
Yeah.
But for Burlesque,
we let it slide. You mean like the cliche of it all? Like how it's...
Okay. I have some things.
Yeah.
So this movie, to me... Well, for one, it's like a girl's got to make it in Hollywood storyline.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Glitter, Flashdance, Coyote Ugly, Showgirls.
Yeah. There are some Showgirls parallels, especially like in the beginning there. Like yeah. the Allie and Nikki is kind of like Crystal and Naomi.
Yes. Or just like the fact that like Christina Aguilera's Allie, she's just, we see her at this, you know, like restaurant as a waitress. And she's like, I don't have no family. I'm going to make it. And then all of a sudden she's on the Sunset Strip making it. But it's like we're showgirls. It's like just bad written all over it, you know, but in a good campy way.
Yeah.
This breezes past all the moments in Showgirls where you maybe would recoil and be like, this is bad because it just happened so fast. And it's,
yeah,
I like the vibe. I see where they're going.
Yeah.
But also this movie's Coyote Ugly in a different font.
You know, I never thought of that, but there are some parallels, right? Like
in this essay, I will. Okay. So she just gets to work.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she enters, is it the burlesque? What do they call the club?
Yeah, I guess
it's called burlesque something. But the club is called like the burlesque club, or
it's a club. Yeah, I know what you're saying. There's something on the sign on the outside, like
something burlesque.
Yeah,
Cher's burlesque. Cher's
burlesque. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, in Coyote Ugly, how she's basically like, I'll work, I'll do whatever, I'm gonna be on this stage no matter what you say, Maria Bello.
Yes.
Ex-Tina does this with Cher.
Same energy. You're right. She just keeps going for it.
Yep. And Christina Aguilera, her like apartment gets broken into.
Yes.
And she's hiding all of her money in the toilet. And Coyote Ugly, in her apartment,
yes,
she's hiding all the money in the freezer.
Yeah. Oh my God. Nikki, how did you make, wow, you're right.
The love interests, are they the same? I don't know, but I'm sure they are. It just felt that in my core. That's not substantial evidence. I just felt that.
Yeah.
Singer-songwriter. Allie is a singer-songwriter.
Good point.
So is Piper Parabo. Parabo.
Mm-hmm.
Small town, big dreams.
Yes.
Can't fight the moonlight. Bound to you. That one song. However, Can't Fight the Moonlight's a little bit better than Bound to You.
Yeah.
And maybe a different, but they're both the same message.
I know what you're saying.
She can't fight the moonlight. She can't fight the urge to dance on a table,
mm-hmm,
and sing her songwriting songs and fall in love.
Exactly.
Allie is bound to the guy from Twilight, mm-hmm, and bound to burlesque. Anyways, that's my...
Nikki, this, I'm just mind blown right now.
Mic drop.
That, you're so right. Like, it's pretty much the same movie, just minus Cher and minus singing. It's just dancing on a table.
That's true.
I mean, it's still dancing. There's dancing involved.
And singing. She sings Can't Fight the Moonlight at the end.
There's singing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of similarities.
And I love it. I don't care.
They had to take inspo, like, I'm sure. Because you can't just be like, this is just ripping off one movie. It's definitely...
It rips off all my favorite movies, which is just art. They're just stealing like an artist.
Exactly. I know. We're here to defend burlesque. Like,
I truly will. Because it's also like The Devil Wears Prada.
Mm.
And Stanley Tucci's just Nigel 2.0.
He really
is. Also, I'm sorry, and then I will let you speak. I've just been feeling strongly about burlesque.
Okay, lay it on me.
This movie has there's many similarities to Devil Wears Prada. We got the Tooch and Cher, like the Tooch and Streep.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, still the same storyline of, you know, a girl trying to make it and doesn't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But in Devil Wears Prada, it's a little different. Montage to a Madonna song.
Yes.
Ray of Devil Wears Prada.
Is it the same song?
Vogue.
It's Vogue.
This one, Ray of Light.
Yeah.
Also, just saying, Ray of Light is a banger.
So is, in the movie, is Nikki like Emily?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
she's like sabotaging and like.
I love that. I love all movies like this. This is just every movie that I like rolled into one. And they don't care about exposition. They're like, you're not here to see that. You're here to see Cher.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina sing. They're like, Christina Aguilera might not be the best actress.
Yeah.
But she sure can sing. So we're going to focus on that. And that I love.
Yeah. That's pretty much. Yeah. That's how I felt. Yeah, I'm like, is
sorry,
Christina,
I just had a lot of thoughts.
I'm just like, yeah, I agree with you though. I love these like parallels that you found. Like, it's kind of mind blowing. Cause I don't know. I don't think I would have noticed.
It's just my favorite things. It's why I love the movies.
Yeah,
I just love a good, like you were talking about, just a story about like a girl. Small town dreams,
big dreams. Yeah, that's all I need to get me started, you know, to be interested.
Some bangers.
Yeah, definitely.
Some baps.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Christina Aguilera's acting?
See, and that's why I didn't know if I should say anything. I was like, I don't want to bring any negativity after all this positivity.
She's not a great actress.
I got the vibes. You know how we talk about Hilary Duff acting? I kind of felt like similarly about Christina Aguilera. Like, I love Christina Aguilera. Mm-hmm. And she can sing. That girl can sing. That is...
She got pipes.
Yeah, she's got pipes. No one can argue that.
Mm-hmm.
Can she act? I mean, I think to a degree. I mean, you know, she can show emotions. I don't know. It's just... It was really hard to suspend the disbelief this time around.
Yeah.
You know, I think when I first saw this movie, I was convinced. But now I'm like... I'm like, that's Christina Aguilera in a wig. I don't know. It wasn't
that
like
wig on this crazy too.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, what were you saying?
I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe not. I hate to say it, but
you know, it is a really interesting choice, and this is like another Roman Empire to go down for me. But even in 2010. The idea that Christina Aguilera would play this role, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't, it's hard to compute, basically. Like, I picture someone a little, no offense, younger, but also just at Christina's time in her career, it would make sense if 10 years earlier, Christina Aguilera played Allie.
Yeah.
But it's just a weird time in Christina Aguilera's career, for one, but also
already
the
like
choice
established
of her.
And
yeah,
yeah. You know what though? She had been burlesquing essentially.
True,
with Candyman.
Oh my God! Well, Brie, this is my your wheelhouse.
Candyman. I was so obsessed with that song. I don't know why.
Talking about MySpace song. That was your MySpace song for a forever. Whole like year and a half.
Yeah, it was. I was sad when I changed it. I think I changed it and I changed it back too a couple times. I'm like, nah, I gotta keep Candyman on there.
You were like, this is real. This is me.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, like, not to sound like an old, like my millennial showing, but the thing about MySpace songs, like I loved, you know how like nowadays, just kids, like there's iPad kids in the iPad generation. But like back in the day, there was such like an empowering feeling to be a kid on MySpace when you weren't like allowed, quote unquote, to be on MySpace or to be on like Facebook.
Yeah.
But to be on it with all your friends, even though you weren't like age appropriate on it.
Yeah.
And just the idea that it was like getting away with something.
Just the freedom.
Yeah. And you were like Candyman's. I put who I am.
Which, have you ever listened to the lyrics of Candyman?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't. What? I was just like, I'm listening to the part where they're like swinging on the bat. I'm like, ooh, it's a bop. This is like old timey. Like, I can bounce my shoulders to this. Like, I didn't think. They were like, I don't know. Like, if you listen to it, there's some naughty words.
Well, wait, the lyric.
Or like some naughty miss. I think she like leaves out words that are.
He's a one stop shop with a real big.
Yeah.
He's a sweet talking sugar coated candy man.
Little me, I'm a MySpace to know.
You didn't know?
I thought it was just like Fergalicious, you know? I was like.
Fergalicious is also a naughty ish song.
It is, but I think Candyman's worse. It's a little more explicit somehow.
It's candy themed. What was going on in 2006?
Why were we all candy obsessed?
I don't know. Probably burlesque. Like, this movie, too, it came out in 2010.
Uh-huh.
But, like, this is a good couple years after the Pussycat Dolls took the world by storm.
It's all thanks to them.
Yeah. But I live for that time. So maybe that's why I live for this movie.
Yeah. Same. You know who else is in this? This is random, just. But yeah. Alan Cumming's. Is it Cummings? Cumming. Alan Cumming. Anyway, Floop. You know? Yeah. He looks like, I don't know, like, not steampunk, but I guess. He's like in this burlesque fantasy.
He's like very cabaret.
Yeah.
But I think in real life, like now or a couple years ago, Alan Cumming did his own like cabaret style show.
Yeah, I just wonder how they got people involved in this. If they were like, hey, you into cabaret? All right, then you...
Like, Kristen Bell plays the antagonist of sorts.
It's kind of random, but she, like, plays it well. I think she also looks great with dark hair. Like,
she looks great.
Yeah.
I feel like this was also the Netflix, like, picture of burlesque for a really long time, and I didn't know it was burlesque because I don't associate Kristen Bell with dark hair. And burlesque.
Same, like neither of those, but
yeah. But all right, it has Julianne Hough in it from Dancing with the Stars. They even make that joke about where's all the good dancers gone?
Oh, Dancing with the stars. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
They like laugh at it too. They know. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like under, like without Tucci, without Cher, that joke would fall flat. But because they're saying it, they just elevate it.
I wonder how much, like, can we talk about like the writing and like the script was revised, right? By Diablo Cody and who else?
What's his name? Speaking of Moonstruck. Yeah, John Patrick Shanley and Susanna Grant, who did Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah, which is wild. I love that, though. I love, like, both great writers, great movies, like, really truly quick-witted. Like, maybe they just were like, we got to get to the point. I wonder, like, what tweaks they made. Because they're, like, uncredited, too, right? Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, apparently this film did go through a lot of tweaks. Mm. Have you heard what Cher said about Burlesque, like, retrospectively?
What did she say?
To paraphrase, she's basically like, that movie was terrible and the writing was horrible and there were so many like edits and tweaks and rewrites.
Why can we all watch those?
Yeah. Little did she know, she's iconic in this too, so.
Yeah. Yeah. She's still iconic. Yeah. This movie needed Cher.
Oh my gosh. If this movie didn't have Cher, it wouldn't be what it is.
No.
But Cher does elevate this movie. Like when she takes the, what is it?
The bat?
It's not a bat. It's a
crowbar. Is it crowbar?
It's something that you do with your tires.
Tire iron?
Yeah, tire iron. She takes the tire iron and smashes Kristen Bell's car.
Ah, oh, so cool.
In the, my she's queen. Such like, she has this whole monologue about the club and like you just feel it. And yeah. This is after she sings, "You Haven't Seen the Last of Me."
Mm-hmm. You believe it.
Yes.
Believe.
You believe in life after love for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Back to Christina Aguilera for a hot second. I want to hear more about your Candyman obsession. I want to hear more about, because this film, like we were talking about how it would make a little more sense if it was like in 2006 versus 2010.
Oh,
because yeah. This is like Christina Aguilera, like Bionic era,
yeah,
which is low key underrated. But back to basics era, Christina truly makes sense for Burlesque because she's in that fantasy.
She is in that fantasy. Like she's performing, like her live performances are very Burlesque coded, I guess. Even her backup dancers are like burlesquing on that pole and. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, I don't know. She's giving the people what they want to see, I guess.
What did you think of the Back to Black era?
I don't know. I mean, I was obsessed. Like I said, I was obsessed with Candyman.
It's a great music video.
I want to say, I'm trying to think what else was going on because I don't know if I paid attention outside of Candyman. Because sometimes I'll do this thing with artists and I just like take one song and that's it. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, I know Christina for more than that. But like,
yeah.
That specific album.
I mean, I remember Ain't No Other Man was favorite. Yeah. But, I mean, truth be told, I've always been a Britney gal.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard for me to pinpoint Christina.
You know, I do remember Ain't No Other Man. I think that's all I really listened to, though, I want to say. Like, well, wait. I'm like, Mercy on Me? Do I know that one? No, I'm thinking of Duffy.
It's true.
No, that other Mercy song.
Duffy was great.
Remember that? Yeah.
Because
I feel like a lot of these songs, I don't really remember. They're like, but she had like a theme going on too.
Yes.
Like there's like a circus kind of situation.
1940s something.
Yeah.
It was just, I guess she was loosely doing like a reinvention of sorts.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I thought it was cool. Like I like the aesthetic and stuff and
it definitely suits her. Like her, like she's so petite and like she looks like a pinup anyways.
She does. Yeah. I really like that vibe, like a pinup vibe with her, but I just don't know. I don't know.
It's one of those things where in like 2006, I was somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like I was listening to Fergie London Bridge.
Yeah, I was definitely listening to Fergie. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, same. But I remember people really loving Back to Basics.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only takeaway I have from that era. So I guess maybe she was just going back to the well.
We're on the same page, I guess. Like, yeah. But Candyman slaps. I mean, that song, Ain't No Other Man.
That's a great song.
They kind of sound the same mm-hmm. to me. Like, they sound like they could be just one long song. And I like that.
Yeah. Well, same with this movie. The Christina solos are very... I love the moment. What did I write? So we would go into the plot, but if you've seen Coyote Ugly, if you've seen Showgirls, you know.
Yeah, it's all the same.
It's all the same. But it is so funny that from Jump Street in this film, Christina Aguilera just does her Christina Aguilera like, oh, oh yeah, you know?
Yes.
Can you do the Christina Aguilera? Yeah, that sounds like Fergie.
It does. I realize I just turned into Fergie when she does the cartwheels.
That's a person in a different font. We've never seen Fergie and Christina Aguilera in the same room.
Oh my god! If Fergie was also in this movie burlesquing, if she was the rival instead of Kristen Bell or something, like how
that would be great.
And then they'd be like having like a sing off too, and then they both be like,
oh my god! If the Black Eyed Peas worked with the love interest at the bar.
Oh
yeah,
that would really spice things. Yeah, in our fantasies
for sure. Or like Will I Am was just at one of the LA parties and was like air rights, and like slid her a drink. Oh yeah, because this movie is basically Wagon Wheel Watusi and air rights.
Yes, just to sum it up.
Yeah,
yeah, those are the main.
That's the plot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, when you were talking about it's hard to suspend disbelief, it's because Christina Aguilera is Christina Aguilera-ing so fast.
She is. I love that, though. Like, love it. It's perfect. It's everything I want it to be. I was hoping watching this movie again that I didn't remember it incorrectly, because I remember it being just like a moment of silence and then her just doing her thing, just riffing. It just, yeah. It works.
It's such a fantasy. It's cool. It's like, you know, when you're a kid and you have fantasies about what it's like to be an adult and to go off and do things. And like, you know, you just make like little storylines.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is like an amalgamation of one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't get into like the nitty gritty of it. It's just an amalgamation of like all the movies you've seen and just your ultimate fantasies.
I love it. Yeah, this movie's not a lot of work like to process. You just enjoy it.
And that's what I like.
Yeah. Period.
Can we talk about some of the dance numbers?
Yes.
Some of the musical numbers.
Yes. Like our favorites?
Or? Yes. Well, so the first big one is... Well, she does Something's Got a Hold on Me.
Mm-hmm.
But I say the first real big one, in my opinion, is Tough Lover.
Yeah.
The first bop. It's Tough Lover.
Yes, that was a bop. Is that the one where she has like that outfit that's like it's almost like it's not Nude Illusion exactly, but it's you know what I'm talking about? Is that where she has the bop wig? Like the
Oh my god, my favorite song, But I'm a Good Girl. That's the one where it's my favorite outfit. The wig is wigging, the bob is bobbing.
Is that where she's also wearing the pearls? Or no,
that's a different one. But I'm a Good Girl is the first one where she looks like Satine from Moulin Rouge.
Okay, yeah. It's got like a feather tutu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's satin.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's very Nicole Kidman Moulin Rouge. Sorry. It's really just all of my favorite things, Brie. I don't know what to say about burlesque. It's just like all my favorite things.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, the costumes are great. I love when she wears the bob wig. I love when she wears the outfit with pearls.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
I don't know what song. Wait, actually.
Oh, it's A Guy That Takes His Time. Because in my notes, I said it looks like the You're Doing Amazing, Sweetie. Like Kim Kardashian posing for Playboy.
Oh, yeah. Outfit. It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I also, I loved Well, are we talking about numbers or outfits? I'm sorry. Now I'm just thinking about
just outfits. Numbers, but outfits as well.
Because number wise, I really like the last number, like maybe the best though. Like I feel like it's so exciting. I love when they dance on the letters.
Yes. That's so Chicago.
It is. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
To circle back to But I'm a Good Girl, I really do love that style of. It is the most burlesque E of the numbers. And it does remind me a little bit of Dita Von Teese. In the martini glass / I always associate it with Naughty Girl by Beyonce, that music video, because she's doing the Dita Von Teese style. But it's also very reminiscent of one of the OG at the Viper Room Pussycat Dolls performances was too, like, it's so quiet.
Oh.
And this But I'm a Good Girl does give those vibes as well. So like OG Pussycat Doll stuff.
Love that. Which that's I love. So crazy that this movie is linked to the Pussycat Dolls. Like that to me is so mind blowing. Well, it's awesome.
Directed by Steven Anton, Robin Anton's brother.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. All those connections.
Why aren't the Pussycat Dolls in this movie?
I know.
Like why don't we have a movie about them?
That's a crazy biopic waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Who's Nicole Scherzinger?
Like who would play her?
Yeah. Sydney Sweeney's going to be in it.
Yeah,
she's gonna be that blonde one, you know, in the Pussycat Dolls.
Sydney Sweeney, yeah,
yeah, just the random blonde one.
Yeah, I mean, who would? These are tough questions. I don't know, but someone needs to make it happen.
Yeah,
I don't know. It should be the next. Is it Steven?
Steven Anton.
It should be his next project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he could do burlesque, Cher is just back at it. She's Robin Anton.
Yes.
No shade to her. I know Robin Anton's younger, but.
But Cher still, you know.
Yes.
She's forever young, so.
She's like wagon wheel Watusi as they're going like, don't ya?
Oh.
Oh, no. You know what I would love to see? Like, oh, my God. I don't know who's Nicole Scherzinger, but the other lead. Zendaya.
Yeah.
Casting that. But I would love to see like a biopic recreation on screen of, have you seen that Pussycat Dolls clip of the girl that comes up and like starts riffing and like singing the lead? Have you ever seen
that? No. That sounds hilarious. Is it like when someone comes up to sing to Celine Dion? Is that like, and they get shut down?
Well, she's a part of the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, okay.
She just like went rogue.
She's doing the Christina riff. Wow. And the other girl was not having it.
And I want to see a like on-screen recreation of that moment.
Yeah. See that rivalry? The tension in the room? Kind of like that scene in Burlesque where, is it Georgia? Georgia and Nikki are like competing because, you know. I don't know. I guess Nikki's always drunk. And like, I feel weird saying her name. I associate that name with you. But.
No, Nikki's always drunk.
Oh, but yeah. I don't know. Pussycat Dolls movie would be great. I'd watch.
Same.
Yeah.
But yeah. Any other like favorite musical numbers or favorite scenes?
I mean, I really like You Haven't Seen the Last of Me. You know, favorite scene. I'm trying to think what else. I don't know if I can pinpoint a scene specifically, but I like the like relationship like between Allie and Jack. Like I like seeing that play out, you know, that how they have like a will they won't they situation. And
yeah,
like the awkwardness of her living in his space. But they're like he has a fiance, but she's like 5,000 miles away.
Played by Diana Agron.
But yeah, really random cameo, but cool. Yeah, so I like that. I like anytime Stanley Tucci's on screen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love a lot of this movie. It's hard to think of, like, it happens, like, really fast. Like, the scenes change kind of fast.
Yeah. You know?
I do like the scene where Allie just, like, goes up on there, like, for her first performance and sings, does her Christina thing.
Yeah.
You know? I guess that's probably a highlight.
There is something about Christina Aguilera's voice that is very undeniable. And I do think that moment when you first hear her voice, it's enough where you can be like, okay, whatever she is an actress is whatever she is an actress. But like, she's undeniably a talented singer.
Yes. I don't know. And it's an exciting part of the movie because there's this all this build up and we don't hear Allie sing, and but you know what's coming. And
yeah,
I don't know, I like it. It gets me excited. It puts me in the mood. I'm like, ooh.
Also, like in movies, I'm a sucker for that moment where the music goes out and they have to like sing, or they have to sing perform
for their lives.
Yeah. Sing for me, Paolo. Yeah. You know? So I love moments like that anyways. So speaking about Cher a little mm-hmm. more, and you haven't seen The Last of Me, because yeah. I want to hear all your thoughts, Brie. Like okay. every single thought.
Okay.
So this is Cher's first role in 7 years.
Mm.
She did play a small part in Stuck on You, which is like about conjoined twins, and I believe Matt Damon's in it.
Huh. Okay.
But that's like a forgotten blip in time, and before that was Believe and Tea with Mussolini.
Yeah.
But like, this is her first role in 7 years. And they pull out all the stops. They give her the Diane Warren ballad.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your thoughts.
I love it. I love everything about Cher in general and everything about Cher in this movie. I think she kills it. Like, she is this character. She's Tess, you know, and it's just very believable. What I mean to say is, Cher is mother in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Like kind of literally, like to Allie and just
to Nikki.
Yeah, to Nikki, to all the gals, and to us.
To me, to me, to you, personally. To Stanley Tucci.
To Stanley Tucci. Oh. But yeah, no, I love Cher. I think she's like she can act. Like that moment where like Allie goes upstairs to tell Tess like about the air rights or whatever, and she's like,
Very Devil Wears Prada.
Very Devil Wears Prada. Another parallel.
That scene where when they're in Paris.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And didn't Stanley Tucci even say, like, don't mm-hmm. get involved? Anyway, yeah. But like when she's like, hey, don't you ever, like she, like Allie tells Tess, like, don't you ever listen to anyone speak but yourself? And Cher does this expression that's so, it's just like so believable. I don't know how to explain it. She does like these things with her face.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, she can just emote, and it just is believable.
She is Tess.
Yeah.
In this moment, like, Cher is Tess.
Yeah. She's channeling something. Like, she has me. I believe.
She's just perfect.
Yeah. I have no complaints.
Well, okay. So, like I've said, like, 10 times, Diane Warren wrote You Haven't Seen the Last of Me.
Yeah.
Can I just list and get your opinion on some other Diane Warren bangers?
Yes.
Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now.
Oh, one of the best songs ever.
How Do I Live?
Another great song.
Because You Loved Me.
I love that song. Like, that's, yeah.
I don't want to miss a thing.
You know I love that song. We talked like a whole episode about that because it was, what was the movie it was in?
Armageddon.
Well, we didn't watch that movie, but we talked about the Oscars, I think.
Yes.
It was nominated.
Which, all of these, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now is from Mannequin, which I haven't thought about.
What?
Also, because I always associate Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now with the Skeleton Twins, because of that scene with Bill Hader, like, singing with Christian Wiig.
Mm.
But How Do I Live from Con Air, and Because You Loved Me is from Up Close and Personal. But anyways, Music of the Heart, There You'll Be from Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
Till It Happens to You.
Wait a minute, the Lady Gaga song? Mm-hmm. I thought Lady Gaga wrote that.
She did with Diane Warren.
Oh, they wrote together.
And robbed of an Oscar.
Wow. That's crazy.
But yeah, those are just the nominated.
Wait a minute.
Wait, no, I want to share it with you.
All right, I'm sorry. I'll have to pretend like I didn't look.
Stop reading ahead. So she makes like the best power ballads of all time.
Yeah.
I Don't Want to Miss a Thing is really good. I've never seen Armageddon, but I love that song. There You'll Be is great. I love hearing Faith Hill.
Yeah.
In a song. But she also wrote three of my favorite Cher songs of all time. She wrote Just Like Jesse James.
No.
Which is my number one. If I Could Turn Back Time.
No. Stop it.
Save Up All Your Tears.
Really?
Which is also a Bonnie Tyler song, but I think of it as a Cher song.
That's crazy. And I thought it was just Cher.
Same until I Wikipedia'd this, because Cher, if Cher touches something, it's hers.
Yeah. That's true.
Full stop.
But Diane Warren is such a talented songwriter that I'm not that mad at that fact. It's just surprising, but I don't know.
I'm
just impressed.
Also, she wrote Brandy's Have You Ever.
Sorry.
Ace of Base, Don't Turn Around.
Oh.
Can't Fight the Moonlight, another Coyote Ugly parallel. But these two are crazy. So Rhythm of the Night, she wrote.
Rhythm of the Night?
Rhythm of the Night. Wait. Oh, I don't know which one. Which one? Which Rhythm of the Night did Diane Warren write?
Because the bigger bop to me is, this is the rhythm of the night.
Oh, I agree.
Whoa. But there is also the other rhythm.
It's that other one.
Which, and people know that one.
Yeah. Rhythm of the night. But also, speaking of bops, Shake Your Body by Tyra Banks.
I mean, Shake Your Body, Body.
Move Your Body, Body.
Wait, is that the one where she did the music video?
Yes.
Made everyone, like, on that season of America's Next Top Model, like, dance in her music video?
Yes.
So she didn't write that song either.
Well, okay. According...
Or it's a collab.
According to Diane Warren Wikipedia, Diane Warren wrote Shake Your Body. I don't know if this is a fact, because when I've also Googled it, it says Tyra Banks and a couple others wrote the song, and there's no Diane Warren to be found. But in my mind, I can believe it, because, you know, it's a very interesting thing. When I finished watching Burlesque this go around, Express was in my head, because that's, like, to me, how you feel about Show Me How You're Burlesque is how I feel about Express.
Yeah.
Or I'm just like, it makes me want to dance and move my body. Shake Your Body.
Shake your body.
But I would get that mashed up in my head with Shake Your Body, Body, Move Your Body, Body.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are these wires getting crossed? Is it
the Diane Warren factor?
I don't know. But isn't it wild to think there might be a world and it might be this one?
She's secretly writing all the bops that we just don't know.
I know. Especially Shake Your Body. That just floored me.
I am so confused. And wow. That's an extensive, like, body of work there.
So many. Am I a Diane Warren stan now? Am I a Burlesque stan?
I think both. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I feel like I've been a Diane Warren stan for a little bit, but now I stan even more. The only thing I wish she did was write a duet for Christina and Cher. Like, why did we not get that moment? That makes me so mad. Like, the very end would have been perfect. Even somewhere in the middle, I don't care. Just have a moment.
It's like, such a missed opportunity.
Yeah, because Cher is a singer. Like, yes, Christina Aguilera is a singer too. And she has that powerful voice where she was, I don't know what it is. Where, is it bravado? Gravado?
Vibrato?
Vibrato?
She's a belter for sure.
Yeah, but Cher kind of is too. Like, I just think it would have been so cool to see them do, like, bring what they have to the table. Like, just show their styles of singing off and just.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool. But
it's crazy to me as well. Like, I was fully expecting after the Show Me How You Burlesque final number, when the credits roll, a Cher and Xtina duet. Like, I'm like, that's the time. Or are they singing another power ballad written by Diane Warren? Where is it?
Also, I have to say, it didn't, like, as much as I love the song You Haven't Seen the Last of Me, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, the place
of, no,
like, because she prefaces it like she might perform that song. Mm-hmm. Like, they hinted it because, like, the guy is up in the booth and he's just waiting there. He's like, oh, hey, Tess. He's like, I've been waiting here for hours. Do you want to practice this song that, you know, what does he say? Like, do you want to rehearse this?
Yeah.
Because they're trying to come up with a new show. Like, she's writing, like, a whole new show for the, you know, try to save the club. That was one of the plot points we didn't touch on. They're trying to save the club from going under. It's not making enough money. Allie basically saves the club.
She's like, if everyone can just sing like me, Allie.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Christina Aguilera. Then this will work. Uh-huh. But it's all because of air rights.
Yeah, that's another big, yeah.
It's because Eric Dane, who I just associate now with Euphoria.
Yeah, I was going to think, yeah.
What's his name? Jacob Elordi's character's dad.
Yeah, I can't.
Nate's dad.
Yes.
So.
I know, he gives you the ick, doesn't he?
He gives me the ick, but I love it. Like, he plays the role so well. Yeah. Also, Peter Gallagher from the OCs in this movie. So the air rights. So there's the space that's the air.
Which I'm confused about that part too, because they don't, I don't know.
It's very the air above the club.
Yeah, which I get, but I just don't understand the logistics in this movie. Like I get what air rights are, but I don't know how they actually save the club. Like, it's kind of hinted at, but it's not full, you know what I mean? They're more focused on like the burlesque numbers, which is totally fine. I'm like,
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because the moment that Allie and Eric Dane's character are at that party and he's like, you see that building? Air rights. I'm like, that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
Right. Say less.
Say less. Yeah. Don't give me things to,
yeah,
to think about.
But no, it is funny too. I'm like, I thought that as well, and I didn't want to be a hater.
Same.
Because you haven't seen The Last of Me is such a good number, and I'll give anything. I don't care if it doesn't make any sense towards the plot. I want to hear Cher perform.
Yeah, it's just not the way I remember. I thought she just sang it to herself in an empty room, but she sings it like as a rehearsal song. But like, I'm thinking about all the people that would show up to the club, and she sings this like depressing song but kind of powerful, but like not like sexy, and not, you know what I mean, like not burlesque.
Yes.
And like, I don't know if that's gonna help raise the funds, but I still love it.
I love it too. It's like a musical number almost. Like, this movie isn't a musical in the sense that they like don't sing how they feel. Like, this isn't Les Mis.
No.
But in this one moment when she's like telling the like guy with the CD, like, hit it. It's like, it's just her inner world. It's her inner feelings about losing the club.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to like not being a musical. But
yeah, I know. You would think it would have more musical like aspects like that, like how a musical would tell the story like through the characters' perspectives, like, because in the beginning I thought it would have a little bit of that, because it's also been a long time since I've seen this movie as well. Like, it probably has been like 10 years or so. And like the very beginning, she's in like a diner or some type of restaurant where she works, like initially in the small town, and like she just starts singing whenever she's like alone, and I thought she was gonna maybe sing her feelings or something, but
no
it's not that kind of movie, but it's okay.
No, that's fine. And it's so crazy, I keep saying it's so crazy to me, I should use a different way to phrase it, but Stephen Anton wanted to cut the Cher number.
No, what?
Which just would have ruined the whole movie for me.
Yeah.
More Cher.
I agree. It needed more. Because, you know, I think about Cher too, like her, like back in the day, like she wore all these costumes that were essentially burlesque.
All the Bob Mackie numbers.
Yeah. I don't know. It just makes sense. I'm like, this is her element.
Yeah. I just, more Cher.
More Cher. That's my critique. So what would you like give this movie?
Oh my gosh. I would give this movie... Just for the awards. You haven't seen The Last of Me, and for the joys of Express, that banger of a song, I would give it 9 out of 10 bowler hats.
Oh yeah, those. Yeah.
What would you give it?
I'm gonna say 9.5 out of 10 corsets.
Nice.
I want to say 10, but the only reason I can't is because there's not that number that I really want, the Cher and Christina number. If that was there, perfect 10.
Oh, truly. Oh my God, a Stanley Tucci and Cher number. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Yeah, why was Stanley Tucci not up there?
I Tucci. Know. Yeah. Oh my. This movie actually has everything that we love. The only thing it needs, and I don't know how he'd fit because he's a
Jim Broadbent.
Rotund. Broadbent. How do you know what I'm going to say?
I knew it because that's our man.
Just a rotund British man just in the audience.
The show must go on. I always think about that in Moulin Rouge.
Yes. Instead of Eric Dane being the villain, it's just like topsy-turvy Jim Broadbent being like, air rights.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, yeah, if he was somewhere in there, that'd be great. With a mustache.
Of course. Maybe. In the 1900s, just period. Just walk straight from the Moulin Rouge set 10 years down the road.
I think it would make sense. The way they were dressed in there, the way Alan Cumming was dressed in there.
Yes.
What do you think? Crossover?
Oh my gosh.
Crossover movie?
Yes. What were we talking about?
I don't know. What would make the movie perfect for us?
I said Jim Broadbent. Jim Broadbent.
Not more Cher. Scratch that.
Jim Broadbent dressed as Cher.
Oh my. He does he goes up on stage and sings Believe. He lip syncs.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Like a Baz Luhrmann does burlesque.
Oh my gosh.
That could have been
that would have been something.
All the awards.
Yeah.
9 out of 10 Christina Aguilera wigs.
Yeah.
9 out of 10. What was I gonna say? I had one. Then I thought about Jim Broadbent.
I keep thinking about him. I know I'm thinking about him too. It's all I can think about.
He's like occupied my brain. What?
I don't know what our obsession is with this man. But
he makes every movie better, but he's like the Stanley Tucci of early 2000s movies.
Yeah.
But now he has Stanley Tucci, so.
Exactly.
But both.
Both would have been real.
Yeah. Yeah, 9 out of 10. No.
Sorry.
9 out of 10. Cereal boxes used to cover that man's crotch.
Oh, yeah. That was wild. That whole routine he did with his jammies. And
I was into it.
I know, it was too.
Really?
Yeah, I know, it was funny. It was a little ridiculous at a certain point, though. I was like, okay.
Very much so. I was charmed by that man's abs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Thank you guys for listening. Rate and review us on
Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Wagon Wheel What to See. A Huda Media Production.